O loving and eternal Father, Lord, you are such an awesome and great God, a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we pray again this morning that your presence will be here in a very special way. And Lord, that the words that are spoken here will be from your throne of grace alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Does your house have a door? Does it? Of course it does. And let me ask you another question. Would you live in a house without a door? No. Doors are pretty important, aren't they? We wouldn't live in a house without doors. Obviously, without a door, we'd be in trouble. Here in John 10, we see a fresh new title for Jesus. Maybe not new to us, but it is a new title as it's in the New Testament. A rather odd term calling the Savior, the door. The Savior is the door. The Bible says that Jesus is the door. John 10:7 says, Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And since we are the sheep, this is very important to us, isn't it? It's vital that we understand this term. I appreciate messages that peel back the onion layers, and it wasn't always that I did. A lot of surface reading, a lot of supposed understanding of topics. But then when you dig deeper, you realize you're just scratching the surface. When you surface read, Jesus is our security. And there's an interesting statistic about doors. If a thief or a robber or a criminal that is intent on your harm was to enter your dwelling place to do you harm, what area do they enter in the most? Windows and doors. Windows and doors. In fact, 99% of all break-ins happen through windows and doors. And that seems sort of obvious, doesn't it? Where else are they going to break into? But it's true. It's an interesting fact, though, that doors are the weak point in our homes, and windows are too. Psalm 59:9 says, God is my defense. God is my defense. If we have Jesus in the door of our life, we do not have to worry about what will happen to us in this world. He will protect us. He is our security. And he keeps the devil away from us. We still go through trials and tribulations, but with Jesus in our hearts as the door to our hearts, he will keep us on the right path. You ever hear that hymn as you were a child? I remember Sabbath school and with the young children, with Jesus in the what? Family. Happy, happy home. Although sometimes when we look at our families, we realize that Jesus may not be the center of our homes the way he should be. Jesus will keep out the elements that will harm you. When I have noticed that when Jesus is the door, let's just read John 10:9. I'll be going through a number of texts, and I'll be going through them rather quickly, so you can turn there if you like, or you can just mark them down and study them later. But John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The one and only door, Jesus. In Palestine, there were two types of sheepfolds. The one in town actually had a real door. The one out in the field, however, did not. The shepherd was the door to the sheepfold. He would sleep, not under his food sack, but in the doorway. Where he slept, he knew what came in. He knew what went out. He was quite aware of his surroundings, and he protected his sheep. Acts 4:12 says, Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other way. If you think about it, Noah's Ark had one door. One door to Noah's Ark. How many doors did the tabernacle in the wilderness have? One to enter. How many doors are there to heaven? One door to heaven, Jesus Christ. And him alone. Acts 10:43 says, "To him all the prophets witnessed that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." And 14:6 says, John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you think this is old news, it's time to wake up. This is new news, good news, the only news that we need to be aware of. And Jesus is an open door. An open door. How many here like an open door? It depends how you look at it. They are good to be closed sometimes because they protect us. But they're also good to be open at times. Revelation 3:8 says, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Revelation 3:8. Jesus is in total control of the door. But because Jesus is in total control of the door, it gets us to wondering, will the door always remain open? You think about this. Someday, that door will be closed. Someday, that door will be closed. Today, the door is open. We don't know exactly when the door will be closed, but that time is coming. The time to prepare is now. The best time to enter a door is when it's open. Have you ever tried going through a door that's closed and locked? What do you meet with? You meet with a bang, don't you? Resistance. You can try to beat it in, but the Lord's door is different. You'll never beat the Lord's door in. The Lord's door is open until He chooses to close it. And so what's the lesson here? The lesson here is to prepare today and enter the door today while there is still time. And that's why our outreach in our homes, in our community, to ourselves is so important. Because we need to enter the door. Because it's open today. Luke 13:25 says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you where you are from.'" Isn't that strong words? The Lord speaks to us plainly. He speaks to us so that he can touch our hearts, melt our hearts. He's opening the door for us. He has done everything in his power to give us victory, that we will choose him and him alone. What is Jesus the door to? Eternal life. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Have you got Jesus' life, the more abundant life? Whitney Phipps, can't wait till 3 o'clock to turn that on. Powerful speaker, with conviction. He speaks the abundant life. The Lord has given him words to speak that touches lives with hot coals. That Jesus is your access to the abundant life. And he is your door to the abundant life. And Jesus is your on-ramp to the abundant life. He is the abundant life. Whenever you see an open door, please go all the way in. How many of you have come to church and there's a gathering in the foyer and there's animated conversation between a few individuals and they're blocking the doorway? Do you not find that disturbing? Doesn't that sort of get you a little upset? Go in, will you? I want to come in. Don't stand in the doorway. Go all the way in. And this is where we peel back the layers. Go all the way in. Jesus is there. Do you want to be in the same room with Jesus? Do you want to let Jesus change your life completely? Do you want Jesus to enter your mind and give you victory where you never thought possible before? How many here need victory? How many here struggle with temptations and thoughts that are not from Jesus? How many here struggle with family issues? How many here struggle with a vague sense of hopelessness? How many here struggle because they feel that they are not living up to the expectations of the Lord? Don't we all struggle with these things? I'd like to talk about a door that I've seen downtown. And many of you have probably seen it before. It's the Scotia Center downtown Water Street. It's a revolving door. I was walking down the street a number of months ago, and there were kids there playing with this revolving door. And what they were doing, one kid would get into the revolving door, and he'd start running. And that door would be whizzing around and around and around, and the young fellow was going in and around inside of it. And the other kids were trying to get in there as the door was coming around, and pretty dangerous, I might add. None of them got hurt, but they were just barely getting in there, but they could never exit the other side. They always came out the way they came in, because that's the way the momentum was. Jesus is not a revolving door. If we enter into the door, Jesus' door, He will lead us in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. He will bring you to victory. No revolving doors for us. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries in this world, isn't there? Adversaries that are of our own doing sometimes. Adversaries that are from outside the walls that we have no real control over, except to pray and give all of our wills to the Lord, and He will solve all those problems. Do we trust the Lord enough to solve all of our problems? I think of a banquet. Have you ever been to an all-you-can-eat buffet where you pay $8 or $9 and you can sit there and gorge yourself for hours on end if you want to? Some people love those all-you-can-eat buffets, you know, because you get your money's worth, shall we say. But you know, let's face it, folks, those buffets are not chip approved. We need to stay away from buffets like that. But what I'm getting at is that the overabundance of food, there is no way to eat it all. You can't. Don't even try. But the overabundance of grace that you find in Jesus Christ never runs out. Ever. Never runs out. As Christians, we can take as many trips as we want to the overflowing bounty of grace, and it never, ever runs out. We can praise the Lord. If someone stood up every single Sabbath and said that one thing, that I'm so thankful for the overabundance of grace that the Lord has given to me, that would be sufficient. That would be sufficient, because that says it all. Come and partake freely. Stay close to your Savior. Hang around the door, but don't just stay there. Enter in. Enter that door. Spend time getting acquainted with your Savior. And how do you enter the door? Spend time every day with your Bible. Read it. Memorize it. Believe it. Study it. Share it. Underline it. Your Bible will acquaint you with Jesus, your door. Spend time every day in meaningful prayer. Talk to Jesus. Don't talk to the wall or the ceiling. Talk to Jesus. Connect with real power, the only power that there is. Could you use a miracle in your life? Could you use a miracle? Then talk to Jesus every day as if it was your last breath. Hard to do? Not when it comes to Jesus. He's there. Now I'm going to ask you to partake in an exercise that is going to be very, very difficult for me to implement in my own life. But I thought about this. Communion service is coming up, and I would like to think that communion service is the start of a whole new year as we walk with Jesus. A new commitment, a refreshing. But there's one way that we can get to the point where we are willing to let the Lord lead in our lives. Here's the exercise. For the next 7 days, starting tomorrow until next Sabbath, replace the television noise with prayer. turn it off, hide the remote. Maybe someone should write this down. Replace your car radio or tape player in your car with memorizing scripture. Replace, this is the hardest one for me. Replace the World Wide Web with Bible study for the next 7 days. Turn off the computer for a week. I don't think I can do that. And here's a real tough one. Email everybody that you are not going to answer their emails for 7 days. You will be fasting. Listen to this. You will be fasting from that which has inhibited your connection with the door to life with Jesus Christ. A 7-day exercise. Experience 7, 10 intentional days to liberate Jesus. Listen to this. To liberate Jesus. Who ever thought of Jesus being liberated? Spend 7 intentional days to liberate Jesus, to do His thing through His Holy Spirit in your life. 7 intentional days. Who here is willing to do this? Is it tough? I'm going to be asking you next Sabbath how this exercise went. And I'll be asking each individual, because I want to share how it went with me too. I think it's an exercise we all need to do. Now, there's one bonus to all this as well. If you spend 7 intentional days liberating Jesus to do His will in your life by doing these things, and whatever else gets in the way, expect a miracle in your life, because you will get one. You will get a miracle, a rebirth, knowing Jesus as you've never ever known Him before. Because that is what is getting in the way, folks. Everything in our lives, we are so busy running to and fro that Jesus is not the door at our hearts. Think about that. And that particular exercise, I had a half hour on that as I prepared this message, because I was examining my own heart. It's a sobering one, isn't it? But it's exciting. I think it's really exciting. Because we can come into a vibrant relationship. Revelation 3:20 again says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," what else does it say? "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," there's the key, isn't it? "I will come into him and dine with him or sup with him, and he with me." And that's what He is asking each of us to do. 7 intentional days that will bring us on a whole new road of discovery. Deeper yet. And that will be the theme. Deeper yet. Have we gotten as deep as we can go? There's no way we have. There's no way that we have. There is a picture that was painted, actually I should say a painting, that was painted by an artist named Holman. And some of you may be familiar with it, but it's a picture of Christ standing in a dark alleyway, knocking on a huge wooden door. And a little boy stood there looking at that painting one day, and he said, "Daddy, why don't they open the door?" And their daddy said, "Well, I don't know, son. Maybe they don't want to open the door." And the little boy said, "Well, that can't be it, because I know they'd like to let Jesus in." "Maybe they don't hear him knocking," the father said. And the little boy said, "Yes, that's it, because they're living in the cellar. They can't hear Jesus knocking." And many of us are living in the cellar of your life. If you are living in the cellar, walk up those stairs. Go up the stairs, you'll hear the door. You'll hear the knock on the door of your heart. And you need to put aside anything, everything, that keeps you from hearing that knock. Deeper yet. And you can have a different life today. Starting today. How many here have calendars in their homes? This is a Canadian Bible Society calendar. Lovely pictures of different areas. Russia, Ukraine, different mission outreach places. But it's nicely put together. But, you know, folks, a calendar is a calendar. How many months are in the calendar. 12 months. 12 months, and they may go into the next year, but the next year still has 12 months. But what I'm getting at is I wish that these people who sort of design calendars, that they would insert an extra month there in between January and December. Just an extra month. A month that we can put aside all of our bustle and hustle and running to and fro and just spend one full month with Jesus Christ alone. Seem like a big wish? It's not. Because how many days in the year do we have? 365. 365 days in a year, 12 months of the year, we can spend with Jesus Christ, not just 1 month. Every day. Listen to this quote. John Henry Newman said, "Fear not that your life shall come to an end, but rather that it shall never have a beginning." That's pretty good. You need to begin at the beginning point, and that is to enter the door of Jesus Christ. A story is told by Pastor Don Geddes of the McDonald Road SDA Church in Tennessee. And here's the story. True story. This is a story that Don Geddes went through. And it goes something like this. Pastor Don was traveling from one point to another. He was a young man. And he didn't have much money, so he got a train. And he decided to bring provisions with him, cheese he had at the time, and bread. Crackers. Cheese and crackers it was. And because he didn't have enough money for to pay for the food on the trip. It was a 7-day trip at the time. So day one went by, and he kept saying to himself, "Boy, I'm so glad that I brought my cheese and crackers. I'd be starved to death by the time this journey was finished." And so, as days went on, he could smell the aroma coming in from the galley car where the food was. And it was just getting to him. But he managed to last 6 days. He had just enough change on him to buy one meal before he left the train. So he entered the galley, and you can just imagine how hungry he was, eating old cheese and crackers for 7 days. And just the smell of it, the taste buds were just exploding just by the time he got to the car. And when he got there, the maitre d' that was in the galley was ushering them all in, and as they got him in, he was reaching into his pocket to take out the few coins that he had, and he said, how much is a meal, sir?" He said, "The meals on this train are free, son. The meals on this train are free. It's included with the price of your ticket." How many of us go through life like that? You know, we need to be willing to hear the Lord. Have we given the Lord our hearts this morning? Communion service can be a form, but it is only a form when Jesus is not there. Let us pray for Jesus to be there. Let us pray for examination to come freely. Examine our hearts, our minds, our lives. What is in the way? Let us remove all the dross, all the worldly pleasures, all the things that we think are important, but get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Communion service is a very special time when Jesus is the door. Let us invite the door to come into our hearts. I invite everyone to stand. Join me now as we pray. As we invite the Holy Spirit, invite Jesus to come into our lives and to give us rejuvenation. O loving Father, Lord, you have heard the message that you have given to us. And Lord, we know that you are the door. We ask that you will give us victory as we surrender our lives to you, that we will come into your holy presence, that we will open the door, Lord, that we will not stand there idly by, but we will enter in, that we will grab your hand, that we will also desire to know you, experience you, Lord, and that we will come into your loving embrace. Lord, for the next 7 days, we pray that you will guide us as we exercise giving up our free wills to you. And Lord, I also pray this morning that if there is anything that we are holding grudging, Lord, against our brother or sister, may you give us the heart to be with that person, to go to that person, ask for forgiveness, Lord. Give us a reconciling heart, Lord. For Lord, we want to do your will. We want to enter your kingdom, Lord, through the only door that's there. The door that you have given us that is open wide. Give us the ability to know. Give us the discernment to read your word as deep layers. May we experience a deeper, ever-growing relationship with you is our prayer in Jesus' name.